He's the one we can draw into no matter what is happening. Our circumstances, the circumstances in the world, it doesn't matter. He is the one that we can come to. He's our rock. There's no sand if we stand on Him. There's only a tower, a safety tower around us if we draw into Him. We give You glory, Lord. Hallelujah to Your name. You deserve all the worship, all the praise. We lift up Your name high, 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 high. So our eyes are up, our eyes are up. We might feel the tidal wave coming against us, but when we speak the name of Jesus, it goes in the opposite direction. We believe You deserve this glory. You deserve this praise. This is our reality. It's not hype. It's love. It's love for You. Love for You. Yes, Lord. You deserve it. Glory to Your name. Savior of the world. Lord and King, name that is above every other name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We bless You, God. We bless You, Lord. You're drawing in. You're drawing into the Father's heart. Oh. There you go. There you go. Some of you are in the rocking chair. Oh, yeah. Some of you have come into the throne room. Oh, yes, Lord. It's where we need to be. All fear can go. His perfect love casts it out. Thank You, God. You're a joy. Is always our strength. Yes, Lord. We grab onto that too. Saw a picture this morning that our Father was raining down on us all that He wants to give us this morning. A heavy, heavy rain. But what was even more amazing to me was that our praises, our abandonment and worship was taking that rain and pushing it back up to heaven and blessing the throne room with that same rain. And then He started another wave towards the earth, even a greater wave. We thank You, Lord. You're so good to us. We can worship You all day and You still give us more. We can raise Your name high and You take that glory from our hearts, but then You splash glory right back on us. You're so good. You're so good. Our eyes need to be off the earth and set above. There are so many things that would pull us down if we just look at the earth. But there is nothing that will pull us down when we set our eyes on Him, when we set our eyes on heavenly portals. No way is there anything that's going to bring us down. We thank You, God, that You're that good. You're always good. No matter what happens on the earth, You're always good. You're always good. It doesn't change Your goodness at all. Yes, Father, we give You praise. We honor Your name today. We bless You, and we expect. We don't think it's going to be the same as the past. We expect more. We expect from an ever-increasing Father. You never want to decrease. You want to increase in us. Why shouldn't we expect more? More! More from you. Yes, Lord. More boldness. More courage. No fear. Yes, Lord. We expect more. In worship, you build up our expectation. We receive. We receive from your mighty hand. We receive your good gifts that we can splash on others. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself, but love your neighbor as Jesus would love them. Yes, Lord, as you love us, let us give that love out to others. A dramatic love, a life-changing love. It's not just from our well. It's from your abundant rain. Yes, Lord. We want that to be to your glory today. Giving out your love. Receiving it and giving it away right away. Yes, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. They're laid out on the floor. Thank you, Lord. Good start. It's the kingdom, kid. On the floor. Are going back there if they have to be carried. Splash a little bit of that. Okay, I remember. How many remember what the last message was about that I spoke? I know you remember, Pastor Mary Pats. Yes, ma'am. I'm glad you brought that up. Mustard seed, right? And that's what I wanted to start with about that, is that because of the events this week in Newtown, Connecticut, and events coming up, you know, the Mayan calendar. There's a few people asking a few more questions than normal. Even in this season of Christmas, people ask more questions. And watching Fox News last night, a little bit about some of the reports from Connecticut. Some of the newscasters, I heard more about the devil
about hell, about God, than you normally hear, even when it's the Christmas season, from some of those broadcasters. Why is that? Why do they suddenly go to the spiritual when there's something as tragic as happened at that elementary school? Why do they suddenly go to the spiritual? Because it's built inside of them. They're resisting the rest of the time talking about spiritual things. You know, when Geraldo Rivera is talking about spiritual things, you know it's a pretty tragic event. Because he's one mixed up dude when it comes to spiritual things. But even he said, this was of the devil. Wow. I'm not sure he personally even believes in the devil. But when something so horrific like this happens, suddenly everybody believes in the devil and evil. Not just us. It's incredible what some tragedy like this can produce in people. It reminds them there is good and evil. It's not just good, come on the program and tell us about the good thing you're doing. But they had a guy on there from some kind of rescue unit that the Billy Graham ministry has started to go to places like this and pray for people and get involved. They had him on. And they called him pastor. That never happens. They talked to him like he really had something to offer. So your little mustard seed is going to increase so we can meet some of these desperate needs in people. The fear that comes because of this. I don't think most of you have marked December 21st on your calendar, thinking that's the end of the world. Because we have such a hope. Even if everything ended on the 21st of this month, it doesn't shake anything that we're doing. It doesn't change anything we're doing. We're going to love people until Jesus comes, until the world ends, until this place is covered with fire. We're going to love people. We're going to continue to give out hope and peace because you're a walking ministry all the time because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. That mustard seed is going to increase, is going to grow inside of you. It needs to. And there's some ground that you need to plant yourself into. I want to talk about that this morning. What's the ground you're supposed to plant that mustard seed in? Are you just supposed to be a mustard seed out there by yourself? Mustard seed, I'm going to grow, I'm going to increase, I'm a little mustard seed. You need watering. Fertilizing. You need the right kind of soil. You know, you can be talking about the devil and how hellish tragedies are like this, and they are. And it is of the devil. It's not anything from God. But unless you know Jesus, you don't really know what that means. Does anyone care that a 20-year-old young man who had needs, deep, deep needs, does anyone out there care? A person is probably in hell. They're talking about the tragedy that happened. The tragedy for him is his destiny is probably hell. Wow. We let another one slip through our fingers. Now, here probably couldn't have reached him. We're not in that area. But we can reach the ones that are in our midst. We're going to see people just like this young man with some mental issues, with some difficulties, with behavioral things. The one that the world beats up on. And we can invite them in to the presence of the Father. The presence of the Father isn't just for you and me, it's for those that we're going to invite in. And some in here could testify this morning, they could come up here and take over the entire time, and if I get tired, we just might do that. And they could tell how they were rescued. They were screwed up. They could have done something against other human beings without care, without concern. And yet they were rescued by the Father's love, by the love of Jesus, by the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Each of us has been rescued. Every one of us has been rescued. And at times, you know, we forget just that we were rescued as the prodigal one time. Every day. We're a little prodigal over here, and his love draws us back to home, home base. What game was it that you had to go to home base to be safe? Hide and seek? What else? There's another one, huh? Tag. Maybe kickball. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. Home base, where you're safe. The Father is calling us back to home base where we're safe. But we're supposed to be showing others where home base is, where it's safe. Those that feel lonely, those that feel like everyone has rejected them, our hearts need to go out to those people, right? That's what this is all about. You don't call yourself frontline. We made a mistake at the beginning of this ministry. If we made a mistake, it was calling it frontline, because then you're supposed to go to the front line. You know, some of us are going out in an outreach this afternoon. What in the world are we doing that December 16th? Come on, it's a Sunday afternoon. It's going to be beautiful out. We could be shopping, for heaven's sakes. Why are we going out to people that might need to hear a word of hope? Because of what happened in places like Newtown, Connecticut. And things that are happening much less than that. Crime in Canton is on the increase, according to the paper. How are we supposed to solve that? Look at the paper and go, go down, go down. Well, we can obviously declare in the spirit, our prayer is powerful. The reason that crime for a season went down in Canton, I think, is because more churches were praying. And we were also going out. Do you know that we don't have to touch everybody in Canton for Canton to be? Well, going to talk to a few people. What good's that? What if that one person is the one that could cause such grief to an entire community by murdering one other person? That person has. That's the victim. That there's always, isn't there? The victims of the 20 children and the 6 teachers and the mother and also the shooter. They're all victims, one way or another. So I'm not too worried about December 21st, because I think we're on the right track. We're loving people. You know, why not go out with, you know, we'll you know, go this afternoon and we'll reach out to people. And it changes everything inside of them. Wouldn't that be a good goal? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Why should we think small? Why do we think this is a little outreach? It's not. There are some in this room that weren't part of Frontline at the beginning of this year. Maybe something happened in their atmosphere. There were some of you that weren't here 5 years ago. Maybe something has happened in your atmosphere because of people here loving on you. How many were not here 5 years ago? Look at that. That's pretty cool. There's some atmosphere changing going on. You have to expect your atmosphere to change some things. Students here are now done with their exams and so on. They're going to be a little bit more around their family. Then, let's expect some dramatic changes in those families. Why expect just a little change when you have? So why are the commentators talking about spiritual things? They're afraid. They can't answer the questions anymore. See, it's okay if everybody's good, just trying, and there are a few crazies that have a strange gene over here. We can kind of say, oh, they're over there. We're good, though. We're basically good. And let's just, you know, get our organization together to help other people. Because we're good. But then when they see a situation where, wow, it's an upper middle class neighborhood, it's an amazingly quiet town. Haven't had a crime there in 2 years. Idyllic setting in their community. Apparently, people loving one another and caring for one another. Does that mean that the enemy can't get in? No, of course not. He's already there. People are just blinded to it, right? He's always working. We're in a battle. We're in a continuous battle. Somebody said, well, man, it's kind of getting hard. I don't know. I'm getting tired. Well, you should be. If you're not tired, you're not battling. This is a continual thing. But the thing is, that's why we need the presence. Connected in. We don't need just church. If we just had church, I think these seats would be filled. That's my own personal opinion. If we just decided to have church, if we were, you know, like out at 12, and we advertised it, we put a clock on where it says exit, so everyone could see it's time to go. I think probably the seats would be filled in. So why don't we do that?
We can fill in the seats. Because this isn't about church. Let me demonstrate to you what it's about. Now, we did this once before. So if you were here, don't tell anybody we've done this once before. But it's time. Because you saw the hands that haven't been here. And, I mean, you know, nothing wrong with that, by the way. But you saw the hands of the people that have not experienced this kinds of things. So we're going to stand up. If you're uncomfortable taking directions from me, I'm going to smile at you until you're comfortable. Because you're going to love this in the end, probably not at the beginning. I get complaints all the time about bringing up people for the choir. You know, what do you do that for? I don't care. I can handle it. I can take the hits. I think it's valuable. Okay, we're going to make a circle, maybe around some section of chairs. We're going to hold hands in a circle, just like elementary school. Now, those of you that don't like hanging on to hands, if you get a little tired, you don't have to hang on the entire time. You get the idea, okay? I know you get the idea. Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah, and if someone can't stand in the circle, somebody put a hand on them or wave at them or something so they feel apart. We'll believe they're in the circle. Okay, now if we were to have a church, you wouldn't do this. Isn't that true? I mean, have you ever done this in church? Probably not. Maybe elementary school was the last time you did this. I don't think they do it in sophomore gym class. No. So, if you just wanted to be a church, you wouldn't have this kind of a demonstration because we would keep things pretty blocked. Okay, so we're not a typical church. I'm just going to lay that out there. We're not a typical church. Why don't we have that goal to just fill in the seats? Because we don't think that you will be touched by the Father's heart. The only way that you can be touched by the Father's heart is if this is actually a circle. Actually, you feel a part of what's going on here. That you're not just somebody that comes in and sits down occasionally and says, yeah, I went to church on Sunday. But you come in and you actually believe you count in this circle. That you need to be in some kind of a circle. If it's this one, if God plugs you into this one, this is the one. That you're not just a little mustard seed flopping around out there on the 5 acres. But you are needed in this circle. You're not extra. You're not just something that is thrown in. You're actually needed. Now, this is in the heart of the Father. We may not even recognize how important you are to this circle. The Father might be the only one that recognizes how important it is that you are related to these people around the circle. He may be the only one that sees it all. In fact, he is the only one that sees it all. Exactly how important you are and how you fit in. Whether you're an eye or you're a foot or you're a ear or you're, you know, one strand of hair. Now, the next thing would be, well, let's be a community then. That feels good and solid and strong. A lot of churches promote that. Let's be a community. Now, that sounds pretty good. But a community could put their hands together like this and then break the hands, go out the door, and some of you would say, that's too weird, I'm never coming back. Just this. Not even the people laying on the floor and flopping in the seats. So community isn't very strong either. In fact, you don't even have to, you know, sign on the dotted line to be community. Like, I'm a member. You don't have to sign on the dotted line to be a community. I'll move this along. Some of you are so, you know about this, really. So I don't need to go over and over it. You could be a church that says we're a family. And we sometimes say that. But if you're aware, the body of Christ, remember, if you're tired of hanging on to hands, I get the idea and you get the idea. But it's just up to you. If you want to hang on to them, it just, it's great. Many churches say they're a family, but we have a lot of long-lost cousins. I don't know if you know, but this circle is different than it was the last time we did this. Much different. Much different in makeup, much different in experiences, much different than before that when we did this circle. Where are those lost cousins? Well, family felt good. But now they're estranged. They're out somewhere. And maybe they're part of another family. Praise God. I hope so. But some aren't. Some have left because they just thought it was family. And it felt warm and cuddly, kind of like the holidays. When you're at a real warm moment with your family. They're not fighting, but you're having a warm moment with the family. And you say, I wish this moment could last forever. I love the holidays because there's at least one of these moments. Sorry. Okay, so that feels warm and cuddly, but as soon as the feeling goes away, the family goes away. Come on. How many know what I'm talking about? So, you know how the church solves that? They have a contract. You come in and you sign and you're a member. Sign on a dotted line. You're a member now. You got to do your part. It says right here in the fine print, do your part, do your part. Now it's a contract. That'll keep you together. That'll keep you holding on to hands. You betcha. Come on. You signed. After all, you signed. Do I have to have you raise hands how many times you've signed one of those things? Do I have to make you do that? I don't know how many I've signed. There was something that wasn't quite right about that. Did Jesus make us sign when we entered the body of Christ as a member? Of course not. It was a heart thing. It was something from the heart. We didn't sign a paper that said, we're a member. Now, is it wrong to sign something that says you'll abide by certain things? Of course not. You sign a marriage contract, for heaven's sakes. Although I think it's a little higher. It's the next category that I'm going to talk about. But contracts can be broken, and are, especially in the church. Sometimes we think a contract with Sears is more important than a contract with the church. Well, the pastor, he doesn't dress right. That's the first time he's worn a suit in forever. I'm leaving. I don't like the color they picked for the chairs. I'm leaving. You know, you know, the tumbleweed Christian life. I don't like this about this guy in this church. Oh, go to this one. I don't like that after a while. Go to that one. And oh, well, I'll go to my Christian friends. I won't go to church. You go to that part and do that a while. That's not satisfying either. Boom, bong, bing, bong, 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 the Christian ping pongs. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I've been one too. I have to admit it in the past. But now I'm offering something for this body and have been offering it, slipping it in to just about every message. Covenant. Now that's something different. That's something that says, you know, I care more about my convenience, my comfort. I care about covenant. I care about covenanting with you in the heart. So I will move from someplace else to covenant and stay and be planted and grow. I will stop my tumbleweed, my you know, flying in the wind approach to dealing with church family and actually covenant that I'm going to be someone that jumps in and says, I'm going to do something for Jesus. I'm going to experience him and do something for his kingdom with all of these others, with them. It's not just going to be me on a book cover. I'm going to write my book because I went to Frontline and I put my hand on someone after Pastor Mary Pat did and they were healed. And so I wrote my book. Whew. I'm going to get my CD out there with my face on it. No, it's for the others in here. Bear one another's burdens. How in the world can you do that if you're not in covenant? You see someone with burdens and their family, you go, well, dad should take care of that. Mom should take care of that. Not me. But if you're in covenant, it could be you the Lord wants to use to help someone else. Those of us that feel like we're a constant project. Come on. Everyone's always ministering to us because we always have these deep needs. Do you know how to end that? Start putting your hand out. Start praying for someone. Then you'll see what you really need from Jesus. Oh, you know, that he sent out the disciples to pray. Or not to pray, excuse me, to minister. They came back and they said, teach us to pray. He didn't teach them to pray and then send them out. He sent them out and then they said, teach us to pray. They realized their need. So when you put your hand out to minister to someone in your family during this season and they know you're not perfect and you do it anyway and you pray fervently over them and something happens inside of them, something happens inside of you. It tells you, I need to be listening more to the Spirit of God. I am so humbled that he used me. I am so undeserving that he used me. Please, God, I need your presence more. I need your hunger more. So if you're wondering why you're not hungry for God's presence, you're probably not even trying to help anybody other than something minor, which is not bad. But you are a mustard seed that can grow into an amazing tree. And you're being watered and fertilized by other believers around this circle. It's time to step out and believe that you're the one that can minister to someone. And then I know you'll be knocking at my door. How can I have more? Because this person was changed. And I know it didn't come from me, but it was so awesome. My aunt got healed. My brother got saved. How do I do more? How do I get involved in more of that? You're going to come back really hungry. And these people that you're connected to around this circle are going to be the ones that water you, that fertilize you. Otherwise, hey, we all can just break off and go our own ways. What's the big deal? It's church. Of course you do that. Just break off and go your own way. Do your own thing. Have your own experiences with God. You know, those are supposed to be shared to exhort, encourage each of us. I think I put an alarm on today, so I better. I did. You're going to hear it. If it works right. In Ephesians, it says, preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to preserve. We have to initiate. We have to go after that, preserving it. So when these events happen in Connecticut, this covenanted group will support one another here so that fear doesn't rise. So that we don't say, well, man, That could happen at any time. Right here, right now. What would prevent it? We have no safety measures. We have no guns to stop it. It could happen right here. God's Spirit is here. We have ammunition you don't know of. He can come to us at any moment and say, go left, don't go right. He can speak to us and say, danger is near. The more that you step into that, the more you will see it happen. That he takes you away from things. He alerts you of things prophetically. How many have ever, you don't have to raise your hands because you're hanging on to somebody, but how many have ever had some kind of word ahead of time that something was going to happen to somebody disastrous and you said, oh no, that was your first reaction. But then you said, I need to pray. I need to cast that thing down. I need to stop that thing. I need to fight back. I need to kick the enemy in the teeth. And you did. And that thing never happened. And the enemy goes, well, it wasn't real. That's because it didn't happen. And your father says, it was real. And you helped prevent it. Now, what if we're sharing those things with one another? Then the prayer increases, doesn't it? We're not just the Lone Ranger here. So if you're tired of this, gosh, you know, I feel like I'm alone, then look around this circle. You're not, for those that are covenanting in. Those that are saying, I'm going to be in a covenant relationship. I'm going to be in a fathering relationship. I'm going to let someone father me, not just suggest. I'm going to actually take some of their advice. Now, not every bit of advice that's given out is something that you should take. That's why you also have Holy Spirit. But some people think, well, I just listen to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and I go forward. Never was that his intention. He wanted to have this covenant situation. He would never describe a body with body parts that had to work together, that had to function together. Think of an eyeball just laying out here in the middle of the floor. What good is that? People just walk by, squash. Some people really have an imagination. That would be bad. What would be good is if you're inside the socket and the socket is saying, oh, I'm glad you're here. We're working together and the optic nerve goes, boy, I'm glad you're here. I'd be a nothing without you being here. I'd have no purpose. And inside the eye itself has parts. You know, the cornea and lens and the pupil and all that stuff. Isn't the pupil a hole? I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so they're all working together and your eye is happy inside the skull. And the skull goes, I'm happy to have you here. I look ugly without you sitting there in front. Why does he give us this picture? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. Covenant. The body covenants together. You don't see the arm just suddenly going, I'm going on vacation for 6 months and ripping off from the body. The body stays together, works together, covenants together. So, will the enemy come and say, you need to leave frontline? You know, they're kind of messing up your convenience, your comfort, and they're, you know, they don't even know what they're talking about there. In fact, they have some doctrine that's wrong. Good reason to leave. Doctrine! Pastor Bill didn't smile at me. while he was giving the message, or he was looking right at me during the message. See how this works? And the thing is, when I look out and at you, I'm thinking of me. That's what's so funny. I'm looking out at you and I'm going, uh-huh, and what about you? Are you covenanted in here? You taking a vacation? You feeling like leaving? You feeling like running off somewhere? You going to be a top Pastor Bill? I don't call myself Pastor Bill. Billy? You going to be a tumbleweed? You know, you think leaders have to be here. We don't have them sign anything either. They're just as prone to take off as anybody else. As you know, have you ever heard of the term church split? That happens when one leader thinks they're better than the other leaders, and that leader takes a group somewhere else. Or the group that was in charge has to go somewhere else. Why will that not happen here? Because all of us feel like we're under the Holy Spirit. We constantly challenge one another on that so that no one becomes too big and proud and, well, I'm in charge of Frontline Ministries International. By golly, I'm the president. I can tell people how high to jump. I could sin and lord over them. That would be fun. But rather, you know, the Spirit of God is constantly humbling us to realize we're a part of the body. We're not the body. We're a part. And we're supposed to be helping you reach the most successful place you can reach, your destiny. And if it goes over our destiny, farther, higher, greater, we've done our job. You know, if we give you lesser destinies than us just because we want to be big and in charge, we fail. We fail the Spirit of God. We have to have you go farther. We have to have you go higher. We have to have you reach a place in the Spirit that's way out there to be successful. That's what fathers and mothers in the faith do. That's what leaders are supposed to do. Have you go farther. Well, if you're, you know, out there bouncing in the field like a tumbleweed, it's kind of hard to do that, isn't it? We say, well, you really need to be in the presence. And you say, well, I've heard that 512 times just in the last 6 months of 2012 from Frontline. But you know, you're going to hear it even more until we see the glory come in such a way that we're transformed in a moment and we're having more people affected by the glory in this county, in this state, in this nation, and the nations we go to. So it also says in 1 Corinthians 12, where that whole thing about the parts of the body are, that if one suffers, we all suffer. Many churches say that. We have the opportunity for that here. If one of you suffers, we want to know about it. Sometimes you call after your burden is already born. You need to call while it's happening. And some of you do. It's a good thing, because then we can all help bear that burden. We can help bear that situation. Some of you have been blessed by that. You have a relative that's sick, you call up. You know, Frontline, we send out emails that people are praying for that. When we had malaria, we were prayed for. It made a dramatic difference. When I broke my ankle, it made a dramatic difference that I would come in here on a Tuesday night, put my ankle up, and people would come over and start prophesying into my ankle. My ankle listened. I found out one thing about my ankle. It knows how to listen. It's a good thing. And body parts will listen. They will listen, and they will be healed by the power of God. But we have to kind of draw together to do that. I don't know how many people prayed over that ankle. No surgery. No, I don't forget that. Maybe some of, well, never mind. But I don't forget that. No surgery. They said surgery. No surgery. They said surgery, the experts, but no surgery. And why is that? Not just because I'm a man of faith, it's because you all surrounded it. You bore my burden. You took on my challenge. You prayed over that ankle like it was yours. I still remember getting a little nervous, people dancing around my ankle. I'm like, I can't move it that fast in case they jump on it. But you know what? That ankle was healed, and there is, you know, they say, well, you know, you'll have some arthritis, you know, of course. It might work for you, but you're going to have some. No, I don't. No, I don't. That's what we contend for. Do we understand situations that don't always go 100% that way? We don't. But we trust an all good God, just like we do with this situation in Connecticut. You have to trust an all good God. We don't understand all the ins and outs of that, but we know it was the enemy, the flesh, the devil. They're always at work. The enemy, the flesh, that's two of the same. Okay, the enemy, the flesh, and the world, excuse me, are at work. That boy didn't just come up with that idea all on his own. He dressed in a certain way. It was modeled for him by others. The enemy is using evil modeling. We can be a different model for the ones around us that we can affect. You can be someone that someone looks up to and says, that person I can trust is after God's heart. He has the Father's heart. He won't hurt me. You see, what can happen with a situation like this in Connecticut is we don't trust anybody. We start not trusting. We don't even know it. We're Christians. And we still, because of a little bit of fear there that, oh, that person next to me could come to my home and blah, 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 we start separating from one another. That's why I'm drawing you all together, drawing the wagons together today. Don't let that happen. Don't let those little fears become fears that separate you from others. Don't let complaints in your heart separate you from others. Don't let things inside your heart that you're looking at somebody and you're going, how come they get all the glory and I get none of the glory? Look in the New Testament at the disciples. Why is that example there? Because I'm not supposed to be going after my own glory. Well, I put my head on the heart of Jesus. I'm his favorite. Do you know that Judas was just as much his favorite, but he chose against it? He chose against that. Wow. The alarm's going to go off. I know it. So, you know, the Bible says we have an adversary that goes around like a roaring lion, and he's wanting to take you out. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy, not just trip you up. So it says, be on your guard. Be aware of his tactics. See that he wants to separate us into little islands rather than have a powerful body that all the systems are working. When someone doesn't understand something about God's workings, I hope that they bring it up to one of you. And you say, you know, I can't answer all your doctrinal questions, but I can tell you by testimony, God is good. Let me tell you the 10 things that have happened to me in the last week that shows God is good. You know, that'll do much more than your doctrine, your explanation of doctrine. It will. There's very few times that I sit down with somebody in here and explain doctrine. They might have a question about doctrine. I give them testimonies. That solves it every time. I tried to argue doctrine with Pastor Mary Pat when I first met her. Can you imagine? I tried to argue doctrine with her. She wasn't falling for that. She knew the Father's heart would grab me in these areas that I didn't understand or that I thought I knew I understood, and she was not modeling that same thing. Some of you want details. Okay. When I met her, I knew she was a tongues talker. Plain enough? And I was okay. I was okay that she was. I just knew I wasn't supposed to be. God had revealed that to me after all. Not everyone speaks in tongues. Of course not. So you try arguing that with her. I'll say, look at this scripture. Look at the Father, how his heart is. No, let's look at the scriptures. She says, I've done that, and it all speaks of the Father's heart for me. And he wants to give me good gifts, and he wants to give you good. Which is, I know he gave you good gifts. He doesn't want to give me good gifts. Not all of them. Now, think how silly that sounds to me now. Absolutely ridiculous. But those things came out of my mouth. Is it any wonder why I treasure just the look in her eyes? Woo! Yeah, okay. It's not Valentine's Day yet. Or maybe it is. So, last thing before the alarm goes off. Jonathan ran into the teeth of the battle because he knew the Father's heart. Never prayed about it. 1 Samuel 14, never prayed about it. He ran into the battle because he knew the Father's heart. You know, you can know the Father's heart so well that your choices, your decisions, and so on, you'll say, is that the Father's heart? Is that what the Father wants for my life? And there'll be an answer to the majority of the questions you face. So just say it with me. Is that the Father's heart? Is that the Father's heart? You ask yourself that question. In anything that you're facing, what is the Father's heart? Or is that the Father's heart? What I'm deciding to do. You know, if you're deciding to hurt someone or hold a grudge or have unforgiveness, you ask that question, is that the Father's heart? That's stupid. Of course it isn't. Now, doctrine, you might take your time looking in the Bible for your answer, but with a question like that, it's clear very quickly. I know people that are still searching on questions they've had for 20 years in the Bible. And if they would just ask, is that the Father's heart? They would know the answer to their deepest questions theologically. Is it the Father's heart that this happened in Connecticut? Answer, no. Is it the Father's heart that this boy went into such a state that he would commit such a thing and follow the enemy's plan? No. Is it the Father's heart that any of these innocent children, teachers, principal, his mother, were taken out of this world in this way? No. Do we understand everything else about it? No. But does the Father's heart? Yes. Because he's the only one we have to go by. Look what a risk he took to love you, to have you love him. He gave free will. What a huge, huge risk for mankind. In order to have us love him, he had to give free will. You don't want to be a robot loving God. He doesn't want a robot loving him. He wants someone that chooses. I love you. I want you. I want all that you are. I want to be just like you. You're my model. You're the one I'm going after. I have to ascend above the thoughts in this world about what's cool and who are heroes to get to you, because you're the only hero. You're the only one. In order to get that kind of love, he had to give us free will. And free will then says you can choose against that kind of love. You can choose evil. You can choose the worst. But he took that risk so he could have real love from you. So is there any reason why we would hold back that love from him if that's what he's desirous of? And he's risked everything to get it. And is there any reason why we would keep that from anyone in this circle in a covenant way? Family covenanted together, not just family as a term that we put on the sign out front, which isn't out there, by the way. Neither is our pictures. There's a reason for that, too. He took the risk that we would love him to the max by allowing us to freely choose that. And so people freely choose to do just the opposite. And Father, we pray for each person affected by this tragedy in Connecticut. We pray, God, that you would come in with your presence, not just your counselors, your very presence, not just the psychologists and the psychiatrists, the limited, but your heart, your presence, your peace. You go there. We know that's your heart. We're just agreeing with your heart. We're behind your heart. We're partnering with your heart. We want to have a partner covenant with you, and we want to have a partner covenant with one another. You called us to it. Are we up to it? Are we willing? Or are we going to listen to the suggestions of the enemy? That you're not really that good. Or the person next to me could hurt me, so why would I want to be too close? God, we trust you. You're a powerful God that can do the miraculous. So of course you can make us into a covenant partnership body. Of course you can give us a closer relationship with you in 2013. Of course you are a mighty God that can give us comfort in our various situations that challenge us. You can give us such boldness in the face of fear. Thank you, God. You're so good. We pray for each life affected in these tragedies that we're hearing about, whether it's one person killed or whether it's this mass situation, God. We know your heart is affected. You are grieving over the choice of someone affecting so many others. But you are big enough to have it all figured out. And all people blessed in some amazing way beyond this life. God, you know how to do that. Justice will prevail in your kingdom. Because we're here but just a breath. But we're in eternity forever, and you've got it figured out, even if we don't. This life is not all there is. We thank you. You have that all figured out. You wouldn't have started this plan if you didn't have the ending figured out. You wouldn't have given us free will if you didn't have the entire ending totally figured out and every step in between. Thank you, God, you're that big, you're that great. Let us not let the enemy, the flesh, the devil shrink you, the world shrink you down to something smaller because of tragedies or because of our own situations. We bless your name. We honor you, God. You're so great. You're so amazing. Bless each person here. Work in their life. Let them know how valuable they are to the body. Let them know how valuable they are to the battle. Let them know how valuable they are to your heart. We bless each person in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you hung on the hands this long, you are amazing. If you didn't, you're still amazing.
On Friday night, we sent a text around, and we encouraged wherever you were with whoever you were with to pray. If you did not receive that text, we do not have your phone number. I'm asking, as part of the covenant thinking here, that you would go and grab a yellow card and put your contact information fresh and new on that. And there was a grieving in my heart, it has been since this happened, that we couldn't contact everybody for some reason, because we know that there's so much power in prayer. And so if you would just take a moment right now and put your contact information, including your cell, email and such, on a yellow card, if look around, find one, and put it in that box back here, that would be a really good thing, as we sent out what we could. I know I've written three things from my heart, which only give a little dot of my heart on Facebook about the events of Friday. And it is a sobering time, but it's a time of joy as well. And how that can possibly be with the heart of the Lord, He explains that with His Spirit within each one of us. And so when we say, does this sound like the Father? Is this something the Father would say or do? Holy Spirit inside of us will lead us into the discovery of that. Because if we do have any place inside of us where the Father's heart and the Father's love has not really gripped us, we might hear something that we think is the Spirit of God or the Father's heart. And it might not be. So I would just like to also add my voice so briefly so we can continue on with the day, that we would take all of our challenges, with great message, hon, and take all of these challenges to heart and say, Holy Spirit, I want to hear your voice, because you are speaking Father's heart and bringing Father's heart message to me. Jesus, I don't understand, but by the Spirit within and the Spirit that you have released in this world to those who love you, I really can track with you, know your voice, and receive. I have been spending time recently meeting with people outside, also here, but also outside of this body, who just are so in love with Jesus and so desirous of laying down everything and so wanting to hear the voice of God. I mean, just looking in their eyes, just seeing this hunger. But as they're sharing, the Lord, because of that, would bring them to a place of saying, if there's something I'm not necessarily seeing or hearing that would match up with the kingdom, with the Spirit of God, I really want to know. That's incredible humility. And there have been a number of people in the last few weeks where the Lord has testified in their heart that they did not see something, hear something. It was truly kingdom. And they were troubled enough by that agreement, saying, I really want to know, because of love, that the Holy Spirit started to speak directly to them. And they got freedom. And these are people like you, like me, who just want to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I said to some of them, because it's been mounting, said, because of your humility, the Lord has brought you to this new place where what maybe He would deem or what He would say is a blind spot is now no more. And there's such release to be able to say to actually admit that was not the voice of the Holy Spirit. That takes great humility. But what that did is that released these people, taking that step, these people into a place of better clarity, of hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, not only for their own life, but also for the protection of others. So many seers in this place, in Frontline. I'm so blessed to be one of you and to be one with you that way. And the Lord is saying, I so want to get into those places. Doesn't mean you're bad. It means I'm free to work. So just in closing, let's just feel led to do this. Just close our eyes. Holy Spirit, we're calling on you now. You're here. You've already increased. You've been manifesting. We thank you that you're more than a still small voice. You are a mighty roar on the inside of us that so desires to be known. Because with you, we won't stumble. So Holy Spirit, we're calling on you right now to start to speak even more loudly to each one of us about if or where there might be a thought that we've embraced that felt so right, that seemed so logical, that made so much sense, that perhaps it's truly not your voice. Maybe it's mixed with my own thought or stuff. Holy Spirit, would you move? I'm asking, as one of the pastors here, I'm asking that you would move so deeply inside of each heart that there would be a new level of questioning, a new level of exposure, a greater level of release, and that something supernatural would happen right now, inside of each one of us. You are speaking, and we choose to listen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's good. I know Joe is meeting with children. Did you want to make an announcement, Joe, about that? Is she in here? Not in here? She's with the children? Okay. Then you want to get her? She, oh, did you want to say something? Okay, so as soon as we're finished here, meeting here after church, all the children for next week, practice for Christmas for next week. Also, we do have two outreaches. If you weren't here and you saw these cookie bags back here, like I didn't get one of those bags, that's okay. We invite you to come today. We will meet here at 3 o'clock, highly organized, ready to go, not sitting wondering what's going to happen. So we will be deploying right at that time. So we're going to go downtown. Andy and Nikki are heading that up with Peter and Teresa assisting them. We're going to go into an area I believe called Victory Square. We're going into Victory Square, which is a very needy area in downtown Canton. And there will be many people touched today. And we're going to believe for miracles. We're going to believe for salvations. And we're using cookies as a blessing. And song is a blessing, and God's going to do something mighty today. We're absolutely sure of it because he's calling us to do it. So if you're able to be part of that, whether you signed up or not before, we'd ask you to put your name over there on a list somewhere. Where is it, guys? Out there. Does it say Victory? It says Canton. Okay. And then if you don't know what you're doing, great. You're welcome to come. We're just going to move as a pack and say, Holy Spirit, show us and to bless people. There's another one led by, Troy and Rachel and anybody else? Mike is able to come. And if he's able to make it. and there's going to be another covert operation. It's going to be right here in the local Jackson Township area. And there will be a singing of carols and decking the skies with the presence of God. Also, we have door hangers that we're putting right on the doors. And as people hear the glory of God being raised, we're going to be decreeing and declaring and praying as God would lead, but covering a good sizable territory. So please come. It'll be different than you've ever experienced before. If you want to go to both, then put your name on both. We'll kind of get the idea that you will go for a time and then come up and join Troy and Rachel. Troy? Can't do that? Okay. By the time you come and go, that won't work. Well, it's from 3 to 6, so we'll be there about 3:30. If you cannot make it downtown, come downtown if you want to come downtown. If you want to go into the neighborhood after that, some people may continue the singing somehow. That's up to them. How's that? Okay. Any other message?
I also wanted to make known that in January, I am going to be having a freedom class, and that is an intense course, meaning we will be meeting the five classes will all meet in January. So it starts in January, ends in January, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back table with the exact dates, the time. So if you're interested in that, please sign up. And for those who don't know what Freedom Class is, it's a class where you really get to dig deep and dive into really understanding more of that Father's heart that we've been hearing about today, and what happened at the cross and how all of that works together so that we can live an abundant life just full of His goodness and His glory. And it's an amazing class that the Lord really downloaded to Pastor Mary Pett a few years ago, and she's taught the class, and then I've come and learned from her and have stepped into teaching a few classes myself. So it's really, we took some of that actually to Ghana North through the Kingdom Bible School. So it's really, really good. It's a message for everyone. It truly, truly is. Especially if you're new to Frontline and want to get a taste of Frontline Training Center, Freedom Class is a good way to step into that. And if you've been here for longer than me, then ask Holy Spirit. It's a good class. I've been in all of them, and every time it's new revelation and understanding of more of the Lord. So just encourage you. So the first class is January 10th. It's a Thursday. Most of them are Thursdays with one exception. So all the dates are on the paper in the back, and once you sign up, I will contact you directly and give you more and more details. Okay, so that's in January. Freedom Class. It's awesome. Good way to start the year. Very true. The video. We have a video as well. A great thing coming up in February. So I'll let the video speak for itself. So that is Wildfire coming up in February at Camp Wainoa. If you go to fmiconferences.org, you are welcome to register online. And there's going to be more details, actual brochures and paper stuff that you can have. So please start inviting your friends, family, grandkids, cousins, whoever fits in the young adult category. And it's gonna, and so we're just keeping that going. And our next opportunity for a conference is Wildfire. Okay. Okay. So you're officially dismissed. If you have children and received a